I wasn't that excited at the beginning. I didn't think that their idea was a compelling business model. We are quite confident that Cartesi has a very decent share in the future of blockchain. So that's the basic problem of a monolithic chain and shared rollups.
We're going to be putting a marketing focus on showcasing these projects. So keep an eye out for that.
What's up, crypto fam? Welcome to Cointelegraph's Hashing It Out. I'm your host, Elisha, and you can find me on Twitter at @GHCryptoGuy. On this show, we will talk about crypto and everything Web3 with upcoming talent and leaders in the space. We will be taking you on a ride around the crypto block, answering questions and highlighting the next big innovations in the space. Before we dive in, remember to follow us on whatever platform you're tuning in from so you don't miss another episode. And if you want more crypto news as it happens, check out cointelegraph.com. It's time to hash it out. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Hashing It Out. I'm your host, Elisha GH Crypto Guy. And today we are discussing rollups. We are discussing very important things in the Web3 space. We are going to be talking about how networks building in the bear, I don't want to say it's a bear run anymore, because at the time of recording this, Bitcoin had gone past $30,000, reached $35,000. But regardless, how networks have been dealing with the current Web3 landscape and how they are getting ready for the supposed bull run and whatnot. So in this particular episode, I'm speaking to two people from Cartesi. I'm speaking to Eric Demora, co-founder, and Colin Style, co-founder of Cartesi. Thank you very much for joining us, gentlemen.
Thank you, Elisha. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Elisha. Excited to be here.
Amazing. I'd first ask both of you to introduce yourselves and tell us how you got into the Web3 space and how you ended up co-founding Cartesi.
All right. I started as a software engineer. I'm a software engineer by trade. After being in the industry for a couple of decades doing developments and managing software development processes, hiring and managing people, also working on software architecture, different verticals. One day, I stumbled across the phenomenon of crypto, Bitcoin, and Ethereum. Initially, I was amazed by the entire philosophy of what this new understanding of computer science would allow. In my early days, I just started playing around with, buying and selling a few coins just to understand the crypto market. Back then, I remember joining forces with a friend to design some bots to connect to exchanges, to gather some data, try to do some trading software to assist me. Everything in the name of fun, nothing very serious. And then one day I received a call from an old roommate, friend of mine from academia. He had this idea to develop a blockchain system, right? We can talk about this later. I'll let Colin speak now.
Sure. So from my side, throughout my career, I actually did a few different things. Started in corporate banking for one of the biggest banks in Canada. I didn't like that for too long, but then I got heavily into the world of startups and actually started in international trade working in Asia, in Beijing. I started my first startup there just as kind of a trial experiment. And the result was that I got to meet a lot of cool people. And after this opportunity, found myself entering into the venture capital world. So a large part of my career was spent at a firm called SOSV, who runs accelerators all over the world. And we invested in some early blockchain startups, like BitMEX, for example. And that's where I first discovered blockchain. That was around in 2017. Fell in love with the technology. Loved fintech at the time. So this was a cherry on top. And from there, I actually met Eric in Taiwan. And as he was selling the story, this idea of Cartesi was coming up.
Exactly.
Sounds interesting. So I think we then pivot into Cartesi. But before we get to what Cartesi is, I just want you to give us a background on what led to the creation of Cartesi. And then you get into what Cartesi actually is.
So as I was telling before, one day I received a call. I was in Taiwan, a call from this old friend of mine. He was a math professor, Princeton PhD guy who was involved a lot, hardly with computer graphics, doing a lot of research. He was pairing up with a colleague of his in a mathematics research center in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And they were coming up with an idea. The idea was to create a marketplace for AI and data science that would be decentralized. So they were coming up with a technology to make that happen, right? That was in 2017. So very early in the game, you know, Ethereum, everything, the ecosystem was totally immature back then. And they were having this idea. And for them to pull that off, they realized it, that the EVM or whatever would be available in the industry back then would not be a good infrastructure to do what they needed to do. So they actually needed to have a real computer, a real operating system to actually run the software they wanted to run in a decentralized fashion. So they had this idea. They called me, asked me to onboard back then to help them, you know, found, because they were academics. They didn't have business experience. So they talked to me. I talked to Colin, and we decided together forces to transform that idea into a real business, a real startup. I wasn't that excited at the beginning. I didn't think that their idea was a compelling business model, but I was quite intrigued by the technological ideas that were behind that project. And then we had a lot of back and forth, exchanged lots of ideas, you know, brainstormed a lot. The AI data science marketplace they had in mind evolved to become a generic layer 2 platform system, because we thought that if we were able to pull off that technology to develop that AI system, then it could be generalized as a very important piece for blockchain tech in general for many of the apps. So that's how the idea of Cartesi was born.
Sounds interesting. So I think you have already started like explaining parts of what the things that went into Cartesi technically are, but can we get into the technicalities? There are multiple rollups that exist in the space. Some even say the rollups are so many, but what makes Cartesi different from other rollups, and why are those differences important for adoption in the Web3 space?
Yeah. As Eric was explaining, we have this long story of how Cartesi became a layer 2 platform, but has even evolved even more since then. And now we're focused on app-specific rollups. So totally being a modular project, focusing on scaling computation. And with that, we also developed what we call the Cartesi machine, which is our very unique virtual machine. So like EVM is a virtual machine, this is kind of a next generation one. So it actually runs on a RISC-V open source architecture, which allows us to boot a full Linux OS. So the idea is to have this scale computation to another level to actually create these world computer dApps, not these simple DeFi dApps that we see today, but actually bring blockchain to a level where real adoption of real applications can happen.
I think from the conversations I've had about app-specific rollups and whatnot, it seems to me that there may be an issue with existing rollups and building applications. And this is from the perspective of developers, or probably even if there isn't an issue per se, it's not as easy as developers would want it to be. So for traditional rollups, what are the problems developers face when they're trying to build decentralized applications? And how do app-specific rollups deal with those problems?
Right. The thing here is that when you move from monolithic blockchains to rollups, let's say Arbitrum 1 or whoever is developing layer 2 technology where the apps share the same rollup, there is a basic problem there, that's the original problem that you had on layer 1 in a monolithic chain. Eventually, you end up having on layer 2s as well. Namely, if you have lots of the apps competing for block space and several users trying to get the transactions into the sequencer or into the blockchain, at some point, because everybody's sharing the same rollup, the fees tend to skyrocket and tend to get unpredictable. And then we have the scalability issue happening once again with shared rollups, right? So what is the big issue of that? The big issue of that is that at the end of the day, if you have a monolithic chain or a shared rollup, the applications that can really survive in the long run are applications that users are willing to eventually pay a very high fee for the transaction, right? Because when the system gets clogged, then the users get into this bidding war for block space, the prices go very high. And then unless you are using an exchange and you have a lot of money to do a big transaction, or you want to make sure to get an NFT, the offering, and pay a lot of money for it, then you're fine. But then lots of other use cases and applications where people are not willing to pay, let's say, more than pennies for the transaction, they are just ruled out, right? So at the beginning of the blockchain revolution, when Ethereum came up, there was this dream of people building many applications in different verticals, covering, let's say, machine economy, decentralized games, social media, supply chain. There were many, many possible things that when you advanced throughout, throughout 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, you see that only DeFi prevailed. You didn't have space for these applications to come up. So that's the basic problem of a monolithic chain and shared rollups, is that it really doesn't scale to the point that you can create different use cases on blockchain.
Interesting. So out of curiosity, you mentioned that DeFi seems to be like largely what survived on the Ethereum blockchain when you look into it. What other applications would you say lost out, and how app-specific rollups catering for those specific applications, just in case like someone is trying to figure out, okay, so what else could we have built that wasn't built, or even if it was built, didn't become as popular or didn't get to where it wanted to get to because of the monolithic blockchains?
Sure. So I'm going to give you an example that's going to be very clear for you and the audience. You can imagine if you look at what games you could develop on Ethereum or what you see on layer two nowadays, what you see is that normally games are not really decentralized. Normally the games run on servers, and then they have a on-chain economy where you can withdraw NFTs to the blockchain, or, you know, have some basic features running on the blockchain. But the bulk of the game runs on a traditional AWS server of sorts. You don't have like real games, more complex stuff running on top of these chains. And very recently, you know, the people that attended to ETH New York, we were displaying, Cartesi team were displaying there, an implementation of a championship of Doom, really decentralized. So people could actually run Doom and then have the gameplay of Doom running on a decentralized fashion while keeping the same security of Ethereum. So that's a breakthrough because, you know, in the past, we could do things very simple like CryptoKitties, you know, early in the days. But then as you fast forward, you don't see more complex games coming up on blockchain. And here, we not only have a game that requires orders of magnitude of more computational power running on chain, but also a game that requires Linux to be compiled, right? It requires a real computer for you to run. You would never be able to compile Linux on the EVM unless you were willing to let go of a lot of performance and do a lot of workarounds.
I think back to some technical related stuff, one of the interesting things that we've had to discuss anytime we're discussing networks and blockchains is the blockchain trilemma, which was coined by Vitalik, an Ethereum co-founder, which suggests that there always needs to be a trade-off between the critical aspects of blockchain technology, and you have to consider security, scalability, and decentralization. How is Cartesi dealing with the trilemma, and how are you ensuring that the trade-offs that are being made is not one that may lead to serious vulnerability, be it security-wise or even in terms of centralization and decentralization?
That's a very interesting question. In fact, when you move from shared rollups for monolithic chains into app-specific rollups, you can break free from the trilemma. Because the problem is, in a shared environment like a monolithic blockchain or a shared rollup, all the dApps are competing for the same CPU, basically for the same computer, for the same resources. So they don't scale. Now, when you allow applications to have their own rollups, and in the case of Cartesi, we use optimistic rollups, then what you do is to give for your application unlimited computational resources, because it's not competing with other applications in its same rollup, while you can preserve the security guarantees of the underlying blockchain. So for instance, if you deploy a social media app or a game app on Cartesi rollups, then you can tap into tens of thousands more computational capacity without letting go of the strong security guarantees of Ethereum, because you have an entire rollup, an entire CPU for your application. So that's the great thing about this modular trend that you see nowadays, and how now the industry is waking up for the need to develop further layer threes and app-specific rollups, because the industry is realizing that that's the way forward for you to be able to do applications beyond the ones that were possible until, let's say, 1 year, 2 years ago.
That's a very interesting answer. And yeah, that sounds like a very interesting thing to hear, because that's one of the things that a lot of people think about when they are discussing blockchain networks. I'll move on to the dApps again and the conversation of building dApps. How do you think blockchain networks can attract more developers to build on their networks, or how to just attract more projects to move to Web3? And this is like, I just want to clarify in case someone is listening. This is not to say that everything needs to be Web3 or everything needs to be built on the blockchain, because I understand that that shouldn't be the case. But there are certain innovations that could be carried easily over from the Web2 space to the Web3 space. And there are new technologies or new platforms that could be built in the Web3 space that can make the space much better. And we've seen a situation where some applications, including rollups, have become ghost towns and very little is happening. So how do we get more developers to get building, and how do we ensure that the building is sustainable?
That's a very important question. It's one we're trying to figure out as well. Right, I think the whole industry is trying to figure out the answer for this, but I have some clues. The people developing blockchain technology, they have been focusing a lot in building infrastructure, right? Perhaps more than what we actually need, you know, with the number of ZK rollup solutions, optimistic rollup solutions, blockchains out there. There's no shortage of infrastructure, and most likely most of them are not going to really get relevant network effects in the long run. So what I see happening nowadays is a subtle shift in the collective awareness in the blockchain industry, that people are starting to realize that they need to invest more time prototyping, developing the apps and showing to the world and other developers out there what is possible to be built on this infrastructure. Normally, the developers who develop infrastructure, they are not the same developers who develop the apps. But if these developers who develop prototype, they spend more time thinking about use cases, dog foods in their own technology, trying to figure out new things, prototypes to implement, that can spark a lot of innovative ideas and bring interest from new developers around. And that's one of the things that we have been doing in the Cartesi ecosystem. Recently, we just came out of a week-long hackathon in which all of the collaborators that have been developing infrastructure, they just took off their hands from the work they were doing and to do something completely new. Like, think about the most interesting project you can conceive with Cartesi now and take the week to develop this. And we were really amazed. Yesterday, on Monday, we had a presentation of this project and the results were really amazing, like mind-blowing. Lots of interesting ideas I had never thought about. People came up with very interesting use cases. So I'd like to see that happening in the industry as a whole, right? Not only at Cartesi. I think it's a responsibility of protocol projects to teach the world what their protocols are can be used for.
Great. I would then move on to the conversation of regulations. And I know usually like networks don't get affected by regulations, but with the increasing push for regulations across the globe, what do you think that would do for the Web3 space? And how would that impact projects like Cartesi?
Yeah, regulations are definitely a hot topic lately. I think things have cooled down a bit recently, but a lot of projects, of course, were taken very seriously. I believe the SEC recently kind of is looking away from the Ripple case. I don't know what the latest is on that. But I mean, this impacts every project in the ecosystem very seriously, especially if they have released a token, especially if they've been involved in the United States or other jurisdictions that are more touchy. And that's a reason why we see more and more projects trying to decentralize and follow regulations as close as they can, because it's all a gray area right now. It's a gray box. Nobody knows what's correct. Nobody knows what's wrong. So it's a guessing game. But the only way that we do know is correct is that blockchain should be decentralized, and projects are starting to go that way, as we have done with the Cartesi ecosystem. So the Cartesi Foundation is only one collaborator in the ecosystem of dozens of companies, many individuals and other organizations that all contribute to build Cartesi dApps, Cartesi tooling, Cartesi and the ecosystem in general. Yeah, it's a complicated topic, but we'll see how it develops.
Okay, the next thing is on rollups. I think I flagged this at the beginning that we have so many rollups being built. Do we end up in a situation where we have too many rollups and it becomes a bad thing for the space? And like, I've spoken to a couple of people building rollups on the show, and they feel we have enough people who are yet to adopt Web3 technology or crypto who would be able to create a situation where there'd be enough spread across the various blockchains. But what do you think about the multiple rollups, and not just rollups, but like blockchain networks that are being launched day in, day out? Do we get to a point where people have a fatigue and just stick to specific rollups? Or how do other rollups that are coming up ensure that they get users and they don't become ghost towns?
Good question, Mash. I think that that's a guessing game. I have my own idea on what's likely going to happen. I think since when Ethereum moved to the rollup-centric roadmap, and with the developments of several rollups projects that I had in the last 2 years, I felt that the trends of rollups on Ethereum was getting stronger than the previous cycle in which I had multiple layer ones competing with each other, right? So I'm personally more convinced that the path forward is to have Ethereum as a fundamental, very secure base layer, on top of which you have different kinds of rollup technologies running as layer two or as layer three. And that's why I think it's this direction, because rollups allow people to just have a lot of flexibility, have a lot of scalability while preserving the security of the best, most secure blockchain around that comports competition, namely Ethereum, right? So it's a very good, positive game for everyone developing the apps, that they can enjoy the security of Ethereum while using the best layer two or layer three technology that suits better their needs. Now, I also think that there are more protocols than the world needs. That's not going to be like this in the long run. I believe that we are going to have a few networks or protocols will develop a lot of network effects, and people will tend to migrate these few protocols, leaving the others behind. But we are still at the phase of experimentation. So in a sense, it's good to have different protocols, people exploring ZK rollups in different variations or optimistic rollups in different variations, until, you know, the world, the usage of the tech and the ecosystem will tell which of these are more useful for people in the long run. When it comes to Cartesi, we feel very confident in the technology that the guys at Cartesi are building, because it's really about opening up the design space of what kinds of applications are possible, simply because Cartesi allows much more computation as an execution layer, and also is the only rollup where people can run an operating system. And that's super important, because when you go to Web2, all software that people use, you know, we're using Riverside now, or whatever you use, are running on Web2 servers. And everything that runs on Web2 runs on Linux or other operating systems, most likely Linux. And all these things that you use on Web2 are like the result of more than 30 years of evolution in software development. So we are quite confident that Cartesi has a very decent share in the future of blockchain, just because there are many applications that will require Cartesi and an OS to develop what they need to develop.
I enjoy that perspective. Usually, lots of people I speak to like to say that there may be a chance for all networks, but I appreciate the honesty and the perspective. Moving forward, as we prepare for a potential bull run, or as we just like enter the next phase of the Web3 evolution, what should users and community members of Cartesi expect from the project, and what are you up to next? How are you ensuring that you're not being left behind as the space evolves?
Sure, yeah. So lots of exciting stuff is actually happening in the Cartesi ecosystem lately. As Eric mentioned, we just had a Cartesi Experiment Week, which was a week-long hackathon for everyone in our development community, everyone in our Discord community, and mostly for our current grantees who are helping to build the Cartesi ecosystem. So out of that actually came around 18 different new dApps, either dApps or tooling projects. And they were extremely exciting projects. So lots of things that haven't been seen in the space before, lots of new games, lots of new game ideas, lots of new technology even. So we're really excited to be presenting that. We're going to be putting a marketing focus on showcasing these projects. So keep an eye out for that. In addition to that, we're also relaunching the Cartesi Community Grants Program. So the CGP, as we call it, was originally launched as a community-run program around a year ago, and it funded several different projects. It was a success overall, and several projects are actually coming to fruition now as a result of that initial round, such as DCA Monster. It's an exciting AMM that adds a discount cost averaging feature, leveraging the features of Cartesi Machine. We have DRAND, which is implementing random number generation on the blockchain, also really exciting and hasn't been done before. Some AI-powered dApps, also brand new to the space, and as well as some infrastructure projects that involve improving Cartesi rollups. So now we're rolling out a brand new version of this whole Cartesi Community Grants program, and it'll be launching, I believe, next week or in the next 1 or 2 weeks. It'll have more funding, so $1 million. We streamlined the process, and we're looking forward to lots of new people getting involved with the Cartesi ecosystem.
Sounds amazing. I'll be looking forward to that, and hopefully I can bring you back on the show when all of those things go down and we can have a discussion about what you're building. Thank you very much for joining me on this episode of Hashing It Out.
Thank you, Elijah.
Thank you, Elijah. It was a pleasure talking to you.
All good things must come to an end, and so does our show. You've been listening to Hashing It Out by Cointelegraph, where we talk about crypto and everything Web3. I'm your host, Elisha, at GHCryptoGuy on Twitter. And if you liked this episode, please make sure to subscribe and leave a review. Please do this. It will really help us out. I need to get out of my mom's basement. Don't get me fired. Subscribe wherever you're listening to us. Leave a review and have a great day. Thank you.